Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. In Tiananmen.
In Tiananmen?
Yes.
Admiring posters of Bill Wennington. And welcome to What Yale Is Like!
Woo! Nice.
Come on.
Yeah.
This is What Yale Is Like, 2 hours of improvisational comedy. I've been here for a while, and I'm going to be here for a while yet. 10 to midnight every Sunday night here on WEFT.
Yippee!
Word. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you. Our friend Pete is sitting in this week.
Hi, everyone.
Pete's sitting in. Been here before.
He's having a sit-in, actually. We should have been.
Hell no.
I will stay here till midnight.
Yes. The administrators are not getting in, no matter what. No. If the administrators have designs on his folding chair, that's not going to happen.
Unionized degrees.
Yes. Do you have demands?
Yes, I have a list. I will present it piece by piece throughout the 2 hours, so they can't come in and meet them all at once and try and get me that way.
So you just gotta hang on, and I'll talk in that voice too when the demands are coming up.
Okay. First item on that list, apparently, if somebody could acquire 3 chicks for us, that would be good.
Not to mention a rat and a horse. That was item 2.
They're
rat, 1 horse.
They're kind of a package deal. So if you could familiarize themselves, you know, with each other. Very strange list.
So, how's everybody doing?
Good.
Doing all right. Went swimming today. Went swimming in a pool at a homeowners association where I don't belong. And that was kind of cool. Pete was there.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of coping with a feeling I haven't had in a while because I don't think I had a chance to go swimming at all last summer. I'm not sure if I did. Maybe I did
you
once.
Did. We
once.
Went swimming together.
Okay. But it's funny.
We probably have to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's going to stay down at the pit of our stomach and, until 2007 at least, when our marriages are breaking up. I got that feeling that I haven't had in a year, and it's a feeling, that whole water-like chlorine head feeling. And that's
cool
a
head.
Thing.
Cool
Isn't
head.
That Ned's Atomic Dustbin's second album? Water-like chlorine head! 2 bases!
Ned's Atomic Dustbin released like 7 second albums. You know, like you get in a certain state where no one notices.
It was all sort of a sophomore effort with them.
Yeah, this is our second album. Honest. No, I don't. I met
last bits.
Met a very nice girl. Was a very fanatic Ned's Atomic Dustbin fan once.
People either have no idea who the Dustbin are, mm-hmm. or they're just rabid, silly, rabid fans.
They got that Godfather tattoo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're always wondering. Great sound, great. You don't need green sound, great. Great the hell. Shut up, Mom. I'll take the garbage out in a minute. I'm 40. You can't tell me what to do anymore. Great. I know I live in your basement. Me and my friends are almost done playing Vampire.
And that's how it is pretty much for everybody.
So there's that. Swimming, kind of cool. You know, pool head, not so good, but I was noting earlier that pool hair, very good. Pool hair, I'm just a huge fan of it, you know. You get exactly the right state of ratty. You know, you're not like a dirty hippie, you know, lurking around a frat house happy or, you know, ratty, but you got a good sort of ratty. You know, a good sort of like, I've been on the road for a couple months now, sort of ratty.
The thing about the swimming is, and, well, I was cataloging in my head the things I've done in the past 48 hours, and it's pretty much like heavily drinking and smoking, and then playing outside in the sun without sunblock, and I'm a pasty, freckly man. And then playing in the pool. And I was just thinking of all the ways in which I tempt cancer. I'm kind of standing there with my hands on my hips saying, bring it on, cancer. What you got? Because I was thinking maybe I could build up a tolerance. You know? Like if I
eat cancer.
If I push it far enough, like it'll just, never mind this, guys. I was going to eat some asbestos and just like hang out in radiation goo. And, like, put it in my ears. But then I thought that's really not how you avoid cancer. That's how you get it. But I got a couple of good years left, and I'm gonna spend them here with what Jill is like and, you know, put my ass on the line.
Well, we appreciate that.
I did not go swimming today, but I did, however, watch some Iron Chef this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a phenomenal TV show.
It has a certain cult appeal.
Yeah, it really does. Like, I don't know what it is, because the food... Like, 1 out of every 10 items looks like you could eat it. The rest of it's like, because, you know, they get 1 ingredient, like cabbage. And then they have to make a 4-5-course meal, and every course has to have cabbage in it.
I think it's
so the desserts, man. Or, like, the eel night? Yeah, I'm going to have the eel dessert. I because this is all dubbed, so it's like, I took some gelatin and placed it inside the skin of the eel. I then fried that and served it with eel ice cream. And somebody in the tasting booth's like, you know.
And then they go, yeah,
this is good. I thought eel ice cream would be horrendous. But it is actually quite fresh tasting and interesting. I would love to have it again.
Like a beautiful woman in a rainbow coming out of the dark. No, we make a lot of things up here, but we... There was really asparagus ice cream.
Yeah, there was. There was asparagus ice cream. There's been a lot. I saw cabbage ice cream. I've seen salmon ice cream.
Bleh.
It's a big thing. It's like, well, they can't think of what to do. They bring out the ice cream maker and throw the ingredient in it.
That's really rough, you know, when you're kind of grizzled and you're kind of jaded in the ice cream business and you're just, you know, doing it more ice cream as an academic exercise than anything else, you know, because I mean, we can still innovate within the chocolate realm, you know. There's still places we can push chocolate where it hasn't been, that we don't really need to be bringing in cabbage to it, you know?
Right. Yeah, I went to this ice cream and ears convention.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got your standards, guys, like, you know, improving on the vanilla. But there's this one guy, and they were decrying him as a, you know, as a mad prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And he was whipping up things like, you know, beef sauvignon ice cream. He even had a dillweed, kind of like a, you know, an earthy flavored ice cream.
Yeah.
He was even making ice cream without cream.
Yeah, see, the...
It was called ice.
The realm of modern ice cream making, we really is getting into confusing points. You know, I mean, you have to question at some point when it is that, you know, when does it stop being ice cream? You know, because I mean, there's that stuff you can buy now that it's you know, it's just a pickle and they label it ice cream. Is it still ice cream?
Just you know, a rose by any other name, man.
Yeah,
but I'm starting to wonder is, do we consider things like Reese's ice cream? Is that actually an ice cream flavor? Because, you know, some broke-ass person took a big vat of vanilla and dumped a box of Reese's in, like, Reese's peanut butter.
How does it make them broke-ass? If they give it to us, it makes them wonderful.
Well, it tastes good, but it's not an ice cream flavor.
Okay, in a culinary sense, they're broke-ass. But, yeah, I mean...
In the putting in my gullet sense, yeah, they're way up there.
Word, y'all.
Peanut butter and chocolate. I want to meet that guy.
Mm-hmm.
That guy who was like...
Peanut butter and chocolate is the bomb.
The fatty bomb.
And the fatty bomb. Because you can eat like an ounce before you just start dying. But it's worth it to die.
So, yeah. Iron Chef. Good show. Really a fan.
Where are those cooking shows taped?
Well, they're old. They were taped in 1995, or actually, I think, starting in 93 through 95 in Japan.
Well, I'd really just like to hook up with the cooking show circuit in general. You know, I'm
Food Network.
There's a whole channel.
Yeah. Food Network.
Well, yeah, I'm wondering if there's just, you know, there's like a Hollywood for the food shows, you know, and you could lurk around there getting those studio audiences every day, you know, really, I mean, you know, some days you got to deal with the eel, some days it's a cabbage day, but you could really...
Emerald Live's where it's at, man.
Yeah?
Because he makes tons of the food, and then he just starts passing it out to his audience, and booze and food, and this crazy, like, you know... Sort of, you know, he's got that Narlins thing going on, but he's insane.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's at, man.
When I was a kid, I was a hardcore Martin Yan loyalist.
Love Walk with Yan.
Yeah. Oh, has he got a new show called Walk with Yan?
Because
I used to see Yan Can Cook.
Oh, yeah, he had Walk with Yan for a while.
I mean, I really like Yan Can Cook, because that's just kind of like a revolutionary throwdown. It's like, you know, all you suckers have been saying Martin Yan can't cook. Well, he can. He can cook.
The Frugal Gourmet.
I was always a big fan of the Frugal Gourmet until he started molesting children.
Oh, yeah?
Did he? Yeah.
Was that proven? Can we talk about that
on
the radio?
Okay, hold on.
Slander tonight from 10 to 12. Slander.
If I'm wrong, but that's what I've been told, because I brought that up and several people brought up how I used to worship the Frugal Gourmet. I used to watch
hearsay!
This is what I'll say. I know that there was a case pending. I know that for 100% sure, and I believe I had heard that he was found guilty of some kind of sexual misconduct with a minor.
Well, I think there's also a case pending on actually if he was frugal or not.
He's not very frugal. He's like, I'm frugal. Buy $8,000 knives.
He's like, here, all you need is 40 pounds of this imported Swedish bacon. You can get it at any local grocery store if you live in Sweden. I don't know. Like, dude, come on.
Tell me how to make something.
Because I always watch cooking shows, and I'm like, I will cook some of this. This will be fun. And then they get all this capers and all, like, you know, salmon guts.
I want broke ass double wide. I want the double wide chef, you know. It's like, yeah. This trailer's like, today we're going to show you how to make chili mac.
It's like,
get yourself a box of blue box macaroni and cheese and a can of Hormel chili. Prepare both according to the instructions on the package. Then add one to the other. Stir and eat. Thank you. I've been the double wide chef.
But we can make money doing that if we figure out new stuff to do with, like,
how to make ice cream. How to get ice cream. Get $5 out your wallet. Find your wife.
If you don't have $5, go out and find a kid. Punch him until he gives you all his money. If he doesn't have $5, repeat until you have $5. You don't need $5 for ice cream.
Does the double wide chef feed his audience afterwards?
Yeah. He shoots them. They don't get off his property.
Wow.
He says he doesn't have an audience because people show up at the beginning of the show. That's like the first 5 minutes is people trying to come in the trailer and him drunkenly brandishing a firearm. Get off my steps!
I never borrowed your lawnmower!
Yeah.
That'd be great. What a great show. Like, you know, it always starts with, like, the wacky anecdote of him yelling at his neighbor. Like, it fades in on him with his head out the door going, you tell Tallulah May if she comes back here, I'm gonna smack the lips off her face! He goes back in, hey, how you doing, everybody? Just taking care of some business, huh? Today we're gonna show you how to drink until you vomit.
You bastard!
Hold on a minute. They ain't my kids!
They got your eyes, you ugly bastard!
Listen, Tallulah May, I swear to Christ on the cross that I am going to find you and your family. And look, I gotta do a show. Just come. I love you. Come back at 2.
Audio footnote. Ode to the Tallulahs of the world. Oh, Tallulahs. You've been given a bit of a burden, a bit of a blessing. You are unique among men and women, many of whom are named Kathy or Aaron or Bob. You, however, are Tallulah, blessed with so many syllables that a Mark or an Eric or a Pete are, even if Pete is to draw it out to his Peter form. Oh, Tallulah, what are you doing with all those L's? Couldn't you donate one or two to charity? Of course not. Then you'd be Tallulah. That wouldn't be right at all. So hang on to your L's. Even though the starving Ethiopians want your L's, the starving Indiana people want your L's, they think they could use them. Hang on to it, Tallulah. Fill the world with L's. Hang on, Tallulah. And audio footnote.
Audio footnote. By the way, Pete, in his Peter form, you did not. He had a throwdown with Claytor, the defender of the universe. And Claytor just squeaked by, I think. Petor is a...
Yeah, the Petor form.
He's a robeast.
When I actually get on the Peter form, it's kind of like, I'm sorry, Mom. It's kind of like one of those. It's like, oh, I didn't really hit your car. My name's Peter. Yeah, or it's kind of like, that's not my kid.
All right, come on, let's move it out of my footnote. Out.
I was going
to... Oh, all right,
I'm still in there.
All
right. No, I'm going to... I'm just staying in your footnote.
No, don't stay.
I'm going to sneak in the fridge and get some Coke.
There ain't nothing in the fridge, man.
All right, an audio footnote.
Audio footnote, on the other hand, Eric in his full form, that being Nebuchadnezzar Eric, is really just not a robeast. He just kind of sits around, and he makes ramen every once in a while. Nebuchadnezzar Eric does. So there's that. And audio footnote.
Audio footnote. Mark in his full form. Mark with a K. It's pretty much exactly like Mark is now, except crankier, if you can imagine that. And I have to live with it. But he likes to nuzzle with his cats in his Mark with a K form. Like, actual nuzzling. It's kind of cute. You wouldn't think he's capable of nuzzling if you saw him, but he is. He's a nuzzler. And audio footnote.
Audio footnote, so don't go in for Kayla, because they only have one L. And you'll need those L's as age takes its toll and L's begin to fall away. You'll want a surplus. It's kind of like those pre-millennia sort of people who stocked up on, you know, beans and water. Stock up on L's, because we take them for granted now, but we could have a post-apocalyptic world where there's no water anywhere, like in Tank Girl, except it would be a situation where there's no L's. And audio footnote.
Audio footnote. Mark, in his Tallulah-donated L-Mlark form, only eats Little Debbie's.
an audio footnote.
All right, so anything else happened in the world this week other than The Iron Chef, which is a phenomenal show, and The Double Wide Chef?
I got a paper for free. I got a paper today, and I read it, and nothing happened in the world. Because I was at the gas station, and I was looking at the... You know, sometimes I just pull on machines to see if they'll open. Sometimes I look in the change returns to see if there's still change in there. Sometimes I just punch people to see if they'll punch back. So I open up this thing, there's a paper, and I was like, woo! And then Mike, my friend, started berating me for spending $1.50 on the News Gazette. Not if there's any News Gazette writers present in the audience, but he was decrying the journalism, basically, and how it wasn't worth $1.50. And I had to sit there and take that and be like, I'm sorry, because the dude who works there was, like, standing there, and I was like, the police are actually coming, I gotta go.
Yeah, see.
So nothing happened in the world that I know. It was hot.
Stories of true crime with what jail is like.
She's buried in the back!
Pete Gray did 5 years.
Hardened criminal. And I'm like, I'm sorry, it's paper. Paper.
Yeah.
So anyway, Mark, you're my window of the outside world. Anything interesting happened this week?
I was reading today that, two very minor things.
Wasn't in the News Gazette. Go ahead.
Fairly major. One of them, at least. And I'm going to start with the minor first, because that's the way we roll. The Daewoo company is apparently going out of business, which I think is a real shame, because when I saw that, that they existed, I was really happy because they've got a very silly name.
Daewoo.
And I don't know. I suppose if I was somebody named Woo, I would feel threatened.
Yeah,
feel really terrible about that. So I can understand where the Woo
car company, right?
From. Yeah,
maybe they'll be selling their cars off like super cheap. $50.
The thing about them is they have they're like those gimmick cars. They're like the Daewoo Neo, like that was the name of their vehicle, or like the Woo, the Daewoo Woo, and they had a little exclamation point and a mark for rising inflection. And they were just like, look, it weighs 50 pounds.
It's canary yellow with green stripes. Yay! And it goes really fast, but you have to shoot it out of a catapult when you start.
It's the kind of car my little sister's going to drive, and she's the kind of person that's going to get a new car every 3 months anyway. I mean,
disposable cars.
If she's got $1 million, I don't know. But, those cars.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I got a Ford E150 1988 van. It will never die. It weighs 87 tons. And you got to replace something on it every couple weeks. But you can replace it with just, like, a pair of scissors and a wrench. Like, you can just fix that car. Well, I mean, someone can. I can. But
the slab of cheese is breaking down. We have another one.
More gum and soy sauce. Yes, it's back running. And like the exhaust smells wonderful.
My friend has a neon. What's up? They're just a little tiny car, but a cute name.
Like like a Hyundai. I hate that one because like I'm gonna. I crush it like a beer can on my car. I don't care.
Yeah, that was the best. The best thing about driving on that tour in that van we went on was that I was assured that if we hit anything short of a semi-truck, we were fine. Like, every other car on the road was like a target, man. It's like, we'd tear through it like paper. Like, that was the only... Because we were going to hit something. I knew that because Pete was driving. Mm-hmm. But we didn't hit anything. And
you know what?
Me wrong.
I never hit anything. Thanks, Eric. But someone hit me. The big machine was parked in a parking lot, and I came back, and there was a dent.
Like a big old.
But the thing about it is, it's a dent on a dent, so I didn't really get bent out of shape. Neither did the car. But there was a lot of red paint scraped off, so I knew it was a red car. I'm gonna find you. I know who it is. Anyway, I'm thinking probably the car that hit me. It was probably a car, not a van, because it wasn't bumper paint. It was like paint, and I'm thinking they had to get towed out of there with a helicopter or something because, you don't hit the van and just walk away.
No,
so it's I'm not
like,
sweating it.
It's kind of like bashing it with Shaquille O'Neal down in the boards, man.
It's like you get yours. You know what I'm saying?
I hate Shaquille O'Neal. The Lakers won the series. The
Lakers won the series. That one, that was a shame. As far as I'm concerned,
Kobe.
I'm gonna kill that guy. I swear. All right, so there was a major thing.
Oh, just the just kind of cool that scientists are fairly convinced now. They claim to have found evidence that water once flowed on Mars may be flowing underneath the surface. I think that's kind of cool. Good news for the Martians, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah.
They're pleased to hear about it because they're like, man, we've been drinking.
They've been having artesian spring water flown in for the past 20 years.
Yeah,
they can finally stop that.
Yeah, they can stop drinking all that bottled water.
So
and eating those human sweetmeats. Mm-hmm. So.
See, the water on Mars thing has been, confirmed and denied for the past, what, like 100 years?
Well, I guess 300 years ago, there was a Italian...
Pete shows his ignorance.
Right. Italian astronomer who thought that there... The spotted stuff that he thought were... it was a word that I can't remember what the correct translation
Martian
was.
Martian canals?
But, yeah, it sounded like the English... It's something like canali or something. And so it cannoli. Looks like it's...
No, he thought he saw cannoli on Mars.
And it's a huge mix-up. Everyone thought he was saying canals. No, the word looks like canal, and he wasn't actually saying canal, but everyone thought there was he was saying canal. And apparently he didn't bother to clarify or something. I don't really know. So that nobody ever really thought there were canals there. But there was something else, some other deal going on. And it's been kind of going back and forth. And now the scientists actually are fairly convinced that just based on the way that the rocks look, that there used to be oceans, you know, that's the way water deals with things. So
what are they saying about life then?
Well, that life could really exist in bacterial form if there's water going underneath the surface, or that it did once exist, and then there was a bacterial apocalypse when the once the water stopped, you know.
Bacterialopolis is what they call it.
All the bacteria crowding into the water as it evaporates, you know, backing up.
Hey, move over! Move
there's
over!
There's no room!
At which point the rivers on Mars get really sticky.
The double wide bacterial chaff was like, "Get off my property!
Scotch your eyes!
I'll kill you to Tallulah May!"
The thing about that Italian astronomer is he was actually saying the Italian word. I was just in the WEF library looking this up. It was cannoluti, which is Italian for rocks. He's like, "I've found rocks on Mars." That's the translation. He actually said, "Ambarabucci baracarocchi, Mars." So everyone was like, "Whoa!" You know, because poorly translated, "I found canals on Mars." And they're like, you know, Americans are freaking out. He's a superstar. They're having a ticker tape parade. He's like, "Whoa, yeah." And, you know, a couple of years later, it actually comes to light that they didn't know what he was saying. And that he can't really back up this water claim. But he's not going to turn down the hose and all the Mustangs and stuff they got him. So,
and it was a 50-foot hose.
That
wide gauge. Well, that's cool.
So that's what happened.
I really
Mars.
Want there to be life on Mars because I want to have to deal with that. Like,
yeah.
I was just thinking about like what would we do? Like the world would freak. We'd freak.
I'm really tired of the internet. You know, as a new major culture force. I want a new one, you know.
Yeah.
Martians.
Yeah,
they
Martians.
Eat people. I wanted to be just like I want them to come down and be your friends and then pull off their faces and they're evil demon babies.
And, you know, eventually they'll excuse it with why. I thought that's what you wanted us to do. You made all those shows. You know, I'm sorry. Right. I didn't mean to be an inhospitable alien.
I hope Martians are feral babies. They look exactly like feral human babies. But they're supra intelligent.
The other thing about Martians would be cool is if they were actually just bacteria and, you know, they did make all these movies now about, like, bacteria from Mars. And there's all these scientists staring at it like, "It's getting bigger, I think." And that's it. It's like a 9-year series. And it gets to, like, a pinhead. And then they have to cancel it because the ratings are low.
It's like the end of the musical version. Bacteria! With an exclamation point.
Jazz hands.
Jazz hands.
I sincerely hope, if it is bacteria, that the bacteria are white trash.
That's they're yours. No, they my 8 million babies. Let me tell you, the what do you call those things? The phalange? No, not the phalange. What is this all over?
I don't know. I'm butting over here. Leave me alone. I got four people. Get off
my rock. That thing's flagellum ain't mine.
So that's what I'm hoping.
I like flagellum.
Do you like flagellum?
I like Magellan.
Ulimalaboom.
All right.
If only Magellan had flagellum.
He would have found a lot more stuff.
That would have been really tasteful of him, I think.
I won't tell him.
Jail is like 359-9338 is the phone number, as we'll move off to a song right about now. What are we doing after the break?
Getting milkshakes.
Well, yeah.
I come on this show with the promise of milkshakes, so whoever's out there who does this stuff, you're
Miriam,
awesome.
Tonight's the night.
Tonight's the
tonight's
night.
Tonight's the night.
Bow, wow,
gonna
wow.
Be. Okay, it's gonna be vanilla.
Strawberry's cool. Never mind.
One strawberry, one vanilla, one chocolate is what we want. But anyway, we're going to do advice next?
Sure, we'll do advice. The phone number is 359-933 to submit your queries, to submit the burning issues on your mind, something going on in your mind that nobody else can help you deal with. You know, you've talked to your mother, father, parish, pastor, psychiatrist, dog, the
your
dog of a
psychiatrist dog?
Yeah, there's a comma, but then there's
oh.
A, yeah. 359-9338 to put to us the conundrum that they just can't deal with, or you're kind of low rent and you've never even posed it to them, or you know, kind of afraid of dogs, you don't want to deal with them in the first place. 359-9338. Should you feel it necessary to express your love of what you know like via milkshake? The address of the WAFT studios is 113 North Market Street in Champaign. That's just around the corner from the new Amtrak station and the old Amtrak station. Several bars, several big nondescript buildings, and it's right where the big sign says WAFT in the window. So that's 113 North Market Street, if you should feel so inclined. 359-9338. Otherwise, we won't press you on the milkshake issue if you call, because we really want to solve what's wrong with you. That's the phone number. And to get you moving, here's some Sunny Day Real Estate.